out of what you turn on.
That's why we're here.
On FM and AM, on the internet. You can't go anywhere and not be able to hear WQKR. In your car, at home, on the radio, on your MP3 player, or your laptop or cell phone.
That's what I wanted to hear.
WQKR.
Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
While the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to another episode of The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I'm Len Asante, your host. It is now exactly 5:01 p.m. and sunny in Portland. Temperature currently is 83 degrees. Going to go down to a low of 55 tonight. Tomorrow we can look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 85 and a low of 60. Peering way ahead into the weather crystal ball, and I'm sure this is as accurate as my lottery numbers guess, but the weather for the first day of the upcoming Strawberry Festival, Friday the 10th, low of 61 degrees, high of 76 degrees, with a 45% chance of showers. I'm sure that'll change about 100 times between now and then, but keep your eye on the weather for the upcoming Strawberry Festival. And we were talking about the festival just a little while ago. As you know, the Portland Strawberry Festival brings in tens of thousands of people from all around the state and from other states, and with a multi-million dollar economic impact in Portland and in Sumner County. Last year, we had the mayor on, and we were talking about the importance of the Strawberry Festival to Portland, and it is an exceptionally important part of our city's heritage and history and economy. So Strawberry Festival coming up. Hope you become a part of the fun. Hey, and has anyone had the new fresh strawberries for this year yet? Roger on the board. Have you had fresh strawberries yet this year?
Only grocery store bought.
Oh, that doesn't count. That does not count. Well, our guest Preston Stark is in the room early. Preston, have you had any Tennessee fresh strawberries yet this year?
Yeah, excuse me. Yes, my wife is quick to get to the local markets.
Pretty good stuff, huh? Were they? Yeah.
They were fabulous.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, check out. Don't be like Roger and get them at the supermarket. Go to your local farmer's market, and you'll find the good stuff there. All right. Today we have got news and commentary. We're going to talk about the Sumner County Commission's legal bills keep getting bigger. We'll talk about some more about guns in schools. We're going to talk about broadband internet investment and where the money actually comes from. And most of all, most importantly, we're going to have an interview with Preston Stark, the board administrator for the Gallatin Industrial Development Board, a position way more exciting than it sounds. Wouldn't you agree, Preston?
It is fraught with opportunity.
It is fraught. Definitely. We'll get to Preston after our first break. And, of course, folks, if you have any questions for me or my guests, our text-in number, reminder, 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. And if we have the time, we'll get your questions on the air. Okay. Up item number one. County's legal bills. All right, folks. A legal dispute between the Sumner County Commission and the Sumner County Election Commission about where the Election Commission's office should be located has now cost the county more than $138,000 in legal fees. According to a Freedom of Information Act by the Hendersonville Standard, so far, Sumner County has paid $138,408 to two different law firms between May 1st, 2023 and April 5th of this year. Okay. Quick backstory here for those who have not been following along. In 2022, former County Mayor Anthony Holt and the former Sumner County Commission approved moving the Election Commission from its current space to a new location. However, the new County Commission that took office later in 2022 has argued that neither Holt nor current County Mayor John Isbell had the authority to approve such a move, and so they sued the county. In an order issued on January 26th, Sumner County Chancery Court Judge Louis Oliver agreed with the County Commission in part, saying that they did have the overall power to designate which county departments or entities can occupy which physical owned space by the county. However, citing the three at that time and two to still to come upcoming elections in 2024, Oliver also kept in place his temporary injunction he issued earlier prohibiting the commission from removing the Election Commission from its current space until further order from the court, and also required that the parties enter into discussions as to an attempt to resolve the issue peacefully and without further legal adjudication. The Sumner County Commission voted in March to appeal that order, and in April, the Tennessee Court of Appeals denied the request for that appeal. Sumner County Law Director Eric Stilter has notified the commission of the rejection of the appeal, and they are considering what to do next. Meanwhile, the county and the Election Commission are expecting further legal bills for legal work done between now and April 5th to increase that $138,000 request even higher. Folks, this is just a little bit silly. In my opinion, the new county commission merely trying to flex its muscle and tell people what they can do, rejecting an earlier agreement that an earlier county commission and county mayor had lawfully entered into to move the Election Commission office to a facility that has the needed space. And this lawsuit and the waste of money that ensued is completely unnecessary. It is clear that the Election Commission needs more space because of the new voting machines that they were required by state law to purchase require more space. And there are also very strict laws and rules regarding voting machine security and safety required by, again, the state and federal government to maintain election security. So the number of options the Election Commission office has is severely limited, and no one, to my knowledge, has offered up a viable alternative solution about where the Election Commission should go if they do exit their current space. So, folks, this intra-government squabble is costing the taxpayers $140,000 and climbing. No resolution in sight, and the county commission is still pondering an even higher appeal. It's just crazy. Just crazy. Okay. Speaking about crazy, item number two, Governor Lee today signed legislation allowing teachers to be armed in public schools after meeting several requirements, including training. The legislation passed by the most recent Tennessee General Assembly allows school systems to opt out. In other words, they do not have to require allowing the arming of teachers in their schools. Sumner County has opted out. Sumner County Director of Schools Lankford has spoken with Sheriff Rutherford, and they both have come to an agreement that it is in the best interest of Sumner County school students to not arm teachers in Sumner County. That decision follows and has been followed by several other counties also opting out. To my knowledge, and I'm sure I don't know it all because they don't all report to me, there are over 100 local education authorities in the state of Tennessee. So far, none has appeared to opt in at this point. Big counties, Davidson, Shelby, Rutherford, for example, all have opted out along with Sumner. Okay, so in other words, a lot of legislative yelling and screaming and protesting for nothing. Number three, Governor Lee today also touted, Governor Lee yesterday touted increased investment in broadband infrastructure in Tennessee in a press release, announcing $163 million worth of new investments statewide in high-speed internet. Quoting from the governor's release, broadband is essential to all Tennesseans, and that's why we are making strategic investments in our state's broadband infrastructure. More than $715 million has been out invested to expand broadband under Governor Lee's administration. Funny thing, though, they don't mention who paid for it. The federal government, in fact, has paid for the vast majority of Governor Lee's strategic investment in broadband, most of which, over $500 million of which, comes directly from President Joe Biden's American Rescue Plan, which Lee opposed publicly when it was announced back in 2021. So the governor is taking advantage of the money that he originally opposed, and is not mentioning that in his press release. So I thought it only fair to let credit go where the credit should go. Okay. So if you are getting broadband enhancements in your community, and $100,000 of that money, by the way, is going to Sumner County, $100,000, I guess unless the county commission says no to it, but if you're getting broadband access in your community where you had none, do not thank just Governor Lee. Also thank the American Rescue Plan, which Congress passed in a bipartisan vote back in 2021, because the governor and most elected officials in the state of Tennessee opposed that and did so publicly. All right. Couple of announcements before we take our first break. Announcement number one, the Sumner County Democratic Party, an organization near and dear to my heart and probably none of y'all's, but is hosting its annual spring picnic in Gallatin on Saturday, May 18th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. There will be candidates, there will be live music, there will be speakers, there will be fun, and there will be merriment, and there will be games and for the kids. And this will take place in a lakeside setting right on the lake in Gallatin. $10 all you can eat. If you're interested, head on over to the Sumner Dems website or Facebook page for more information. That's www.sumnerdems.org or Sumner Dems on Facebook. Okay. Also coming up on next month on June 9th from 2 to 5 p.m., the CoLab is hosting their second annual Affirming Hendersonville event, Sunday, June 9th from 2 to 5. Affirming Hendersonville is a family-friendly block party and market dedicated to creating a safe and loving space for all. They aim to showcase local businesses, vendors, service providers, and organizations that embrace diversity, equality, and support LGBTQ causes and rights. That is at 132 Maple Road Boulevard, Suite 640, again, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., if you are interested in going. We went last year, and it was a nice, fun time for a good cause. If you remember, folks, we had the owners of that organization on the show not too long ago. They talked about the adventures of being small business women in Tennessee. We'll probably have them back real soon to talk a little bit more about the CoLab and about what's going on June 19th. So mark your calendars, May 18th and June 9th, and of course, May 11th, 10th, and 11th for the annual Tennessee Strawberry Festival right here in Portland, Tennessee. We're going to take our first break right now. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Preston Stark, the administrator for the Gallatin Industrial Development Board. You're listening to WQKR.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
WQKR. Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
Hey, Sumner County, welcome back to the Loyal Opposition, the show where you hear the other half of the story. 83 degrees and sunny in Portland, going down to 55 tonight, high of 85, partly sunny tomorrow in Portland. With us today is Preston Stark. Preston, welcome to the show.
Pleased to be here.
All right.
In the company of a star host and
it is impressive.
Educator.
It is impressive to be in these amazing facilities with all the bells and whistles of the modern radio phenomena all around you. But try to relax. We'll get you through it. Preston, we're here to talk about the Gallatin Industrial Development Board and industrial development boards in particular. So why don't we start off, though, by first talking a little bit about who is Preston Stark. Who are you, and how did you land here in this chair across from me?
When I retired several years ago, I was looking for...
What exactly did you do when you were before you were retired? That's always been unclear to me.
It's unclear. I headed a company that was responsible for environmental and chemical services, typically for large industrial clients. So we grew a business from one client to $170 million business over a course of 15 years or so. Did a lot of work internationally.
And so when you retired, you just walked away?
I wish I could describe it that way, but having gone through several acquisitions and buyouts.
Gotcha.
It's like, okay, we're going to go in a different direction.
Okay, so you've been retired a few years, and so?
Just by chance, I saw a posting for a administrative position with the Industrial Development Board. And I always had an interest, because I was out of town so much, to do something more involved with the city and be of help or contributing where I could. So I applied for that position and was hired.
And here you are, and that was about, what?
Three and a half years.
Wow, okay. So you were not looking for anything, and it just sort of fell in your lap, in a sense.
No, it was, it sounded very, interesting, and having experience with, national and international companies, I felt like I had an understanding of businesses' needs as they come into new communities.
Okay. And this is a part-time position now, the administrator to the Industrial Development Board. Technically.
I'm glad you said that, because technically it's part-time, but it tends to be full-time. But it's a privilege for me, and it allows me to really work as much as I want. And yes, I work more than part-time, but that's by choice.
That's by choice, right. Okay. I couldn't imagine that you would just be sitting around the house doing nothing. If you didn't have this position, you'd be doing something else by choice, I would imagine.
That's true. My wife would be very disappointed were I not engaged in something.
Sure, I'm sure.
And my personality type is that I have to be doing something.
Right.
And this is a real challenge. It was a lot to learn, and I'm still learning. But I appreciate it.
Well, hopefully one of the things you did learn is the focus of our next question, which is, what exactly is an Industrial Development Board?
The Industrial Development Boards are nonprofits sanctioned by the state, and their role is to attract new industries and attract jobs and provide opportunities for existing industries to grow.
And you say Industrial Development Board, so this is not just a Gallatin thing.
The Gallatin Board has responsibility for industrial development within the city limits of Gallatin. And there are other boards and other communities that do the same thing.
Right. All over the state.
Yes. You have Portland, you have Hendersonville, you have Sumner County, Lebanon, Wilson County. So they all have varying geographic areas that they're responsible for.
But they do the same thing as defined by the state law that regulates them.
That's correct. The state laws are pretty clear about what a board can do. And the opportunities that we give industries that come to town is a tax incentive in the form of a pilot, which means it's a payment in lieu of taxes. So the client is afforded a lower property and personal property tax rate in lieu of their commitments to build and grow their business.
Right. So the idea behind the pilot, and we will talk more about this in detail, but the idea behind the pilot is that it's an incentive to come and stay while also providing a source of income for the local government agency or, you know, to the Industrial Development Board.
Absolutely. So
there's still a payment. It's not a complete tax break. There's still money
paid. It is not in any way a real, tax break. When the client applies for a pilot agreement, there's financial analyses that is done short-term and long-term to determine the viability and the benefit to the community. So we're looking well beyond just tax rates, and we're looking at what is it affording people in the form of, you know, job opportunities, things like that. The payment in lieu of taxes implies that there is it's tax-free, and it's not.
It's not. There's still the P in pilot is a very important part of the equation, isn't it?
That's true. So part of my role is having the responsibility to calculate the pilot payments that are due from the various companies. And a number of the pilots vary, but typically we then have responsibility to make a distribution of those funds, typically for schools, county, and
city
programs.
We'll talk more about where the funds come from, or actually where the funds go. For sure, absolutely. So, the board is made up of people other than just you. Actually, technically, you're not a member of the board, are you?
I am not a member of the board.
You're a paid employee of the board.
I'm paid, and I appreciate that because it also gives me an opportunity to really review contracts, operations, and speak to what we're required to do by statute, what we're required to do by agreements, and I don't have an opinion because if I did have one, it wouldn't matter.
Well, now you feel like me. I have an opinion, and it rarely matters. Who's the board then?
We currently have a 9-member board.
And these people are citizens of the city of Dallas.
Yes, they absolutely, the fundamental requirement is that they are residents, at least for our board, within the city. And the position is not paid. It's a volunteer position. The person is presented to the mayor for consideration, and ultimately the Gallatin City Council votes and determines who is added to the board.
And we think that's fairly similar to how most local governments operate in terms of board appointments. And I guess we have other boards and other industrial development boards in Sumner County, and the process is fairly similar in Hendersonville and
all industrial boards by state statute have to have representatives from the city or area they're responsible for, and they're all unpaid positions.
All right, and there are 9 of those people, and of course, one of the reasons I was able to wrangle Preston to be on the show today is I'm one of the members of the Industrial Development Board, and I'm one of the 9, and growth is a topic that we've been talking a lot about on this show over the year, since we've been on the air, coming up on, well, it'll be 2 years and a couple months. It's a big issue in Sumner County, and the Industrial Development Board plays a small part in the overall growth and development of the county, so I thought it was important to have this conversation. We work with the Industrial Development Board does not work alone in a vacuum. Who else is involved in this process? A company probably doesn't call up Preston Stark and say, hey, we want to come to Gallatin. How does that usually work?
We're associated with the Economic Development Agency. So the Economic Development Agency,
which is a department of the city government.
Which is a department of the city, that is correct. Their responsibility is not only industrial, but commercial, retail, all facets of economic development and improvement in the city. With the larger industrial clients, at some threshold, it's determined that to attract that business may require a pilot agreement, and that's where the Industrial Board is engaged.
Right, so the Industrial Development Board is not involved in anything prior to that.
Right. That is correct. The Industrial Board responds and supports initiatives that have been generated by economic development.
Okay. Right now, how many active pilots is the board overseeing, ballpark?
I knew you would ask that question, and I forgot to look it up.
It's
probably
it's like 6 or 7, right?
Well, and we also have a health and educational facilities board.
Right.
So I'd say 12 in total.
12 in total, okay.
And we have these agreements with clients cover a number of years. So we have people that are rolling off
right
through the years.
Right. And then as new pilots come in, new ones roll on. So, all right.
We hope so.
We hope so, exactly. All right, we're going to take our next break right now. When we come back, more with Preston Stark, we'll talk about some of the companies that have taken advantage of the pilot opportunities over the years and what that has meant for Sumner County. You're listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
CEMC members, did you know CEMC now has an app? If you live in the CEMC service area, you can pay your bill, view daily usage, check your billing history, and more, all from your smartphone. Download the app today. It's easy. Just search for Smart Hub, all one word, in the Apple App or Google Play stores. For additional information, visit our website at cemc.org and click on My Account. Cumberland Electric Membership Corporation, proudly serving our members since 1938.
Enjoy a harvest of values at Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in downtown Portland. With 25 years in business, they are gearing up for the best holidays ever. New merchandise arriving daily, so must clear out the old to make space for the new. Best values ever on fiddles, banjos, guitars, and band instruments. Special delivery with purchase of a piano. Layaway is available. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 11 a.m. through 5 p.m., Saturday, noon to 4. Call 615-323-0701 or stop by Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in Portland, Tennessee for small town service, values, and the best of everything.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000-plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fit-tacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
Worry about the weather? Want to know when a bad storm is on the way? Even a tornado? If you're a resident of Portland, you can sign up for the Code Red Weather Alert Program, a free service of the City of Portland. Once you sign up, you'll get emergency messages by telephone or email whenever there's an emergency, including evacuation notices, weather, bioterrorism alerts. To sign up, just go to the City of Portland website, www.cityofportlandtn.gov, or call City Hall at 325-6776.
Welcome back, Sumner County. You're listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your host, Len Asante. We are here with Preston Stark, the administrator for the Gallatin Industrial Development Board. It is 5:36 p.m. and 82 sunny degrees outside, down to 55 tonight. Sunset coming up at 7:35 p.m. The days are getting longer, aren't they? All right. So, continuing our conversation with Preston. And again, folks, if you have a question for Preston, text it in to 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. And if we got time, we'll get your question on the air. All right. So, Preston, we're talking about growth in Sumner County. And one of the things that you mentioned over the break is that some people have misconceptions about growth in Sumner County. I was hoping that we could expand a little on that idea. As I mentioned, growth is a big issue in Sumner County. As we grow, we have forces that are opposed to growth, some that even want to stop it altogether. And we have those who see growth as essential to the survival of a community. As they say, if you're not growing, you're dying, is the old economic development adage. So, what do you think?
I don't know that my opinion particularly matters because...
Well, it matters to the many millions of listeners of the show. Let's talk facts. Let's talk reality. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah, I think it is... interesting, and what I've learned in this kind of journey in this position is that a lot of folks may look to government agencies to control the growth. But when you look at the larger properties often that are being considered for development, not so much industrial but residential, in large part that is determined by the property owners themselves and who they choose to sell to. So you've got a lot of folks that have land and they want to sell it or divide it, and other than zoning, the city has you know, very little influence.
Right. The government has no right or ability to tell people what they can and cannot do with their property. If you want to sell your property, great. If you want to build on your property, as long as it matches the zoning, great. And even if it doesn't match the zoning, you can apply for an exception. Right. However, the Industrial Development Board, we develop industrial development on industrial land, land already set aside by the city for industrial development. So, for example, when Meta came in, we did not. Meta didn't, you know, buy up a bunch of land from private citizens and build their big operation on it. Rather, they partnered with the city on already existing city-owned industrial land in our industrial park, which has been around, the Gallatin Industrial Industrial Park's been around for decades. So, let's talk a little bit about Meta. Meta is one of the currently operating pilots in the Gallatin right now. And talk us through a little bit about how that worked, how that came to be, and what that means for the community.
Well, Meta's had a huge impact on the community, starting with construction jobs and construction materials. You have thousands of workers that were there and are still there as they add on.
Yeah, they're not finished yet. Phase one is up and running. Phase two is in process, and phase three is coming right along, isn't it? Right.
Exactly.
Behind.
So they're a client that we're very appreciative. What's most impressive about Meta and Facebook today is their efforts to support the community. If you talk to nonprofits, you talk to schools, chances are they're getting major support along the way from Meta. They're very actively involved in the community and desiring to participate and support our schools.
Above and beyond their pilot obligations. Isn't that the case?
Yes, absolutely. I am not familiar with all that they have done, but they've supported initiatives at Vol State. They've directly supported Sumner County Schools, and they continue to look for opportunities where they can help and educate and grow the workforce through education.
Right. And that adds up to, we joked when I was, Meta came to town when I was still on the chamber board. And, they of course wanted to join the Chamber of Commerce. And we had to invent a new membership level for Meta. They wanted to join at a higher level than our highest level of membership was. So they sort of set a standard for a new level of chamber membership, and they've been very valuable to the community. And on top of that, their pilot agreement essentially is $1 million a year, pretty much, right?
That is correct, but it is it increases according to the number of buildings that they have. Okay. It's not $1 million per building, but the level for last year, as an example, was $1 million.
Right. And that'll increase as more buildings come online.
That is correct.
Occupancy.
Right? Yes.
So this is not in any way, shape, or form a handout or a corporate tax giveaway or anything like that. They are still paying to the Industrial Development Board, and when the pilot ends, they will start to pay property taxes just like everybody else.
That's correct. All of the pilots, wind down over a certain period of years, and then they simply roll over to the traditional tax rolls.
Excellent. All right. So that's a lot of money coming into the city or into whatever community a industrial development board supports. How does an industrial development board then decide, if they in fact decide, what to do with that money? Is that part of the pilot agreement? Is that totally at their whim and will? Are there rules and regulations surrounding this? Who gets a piece? Well, everyone wants a piece.
Well,
who gets
it's
a
not
piece?
Whim and will, I can tell you that. And it is absolutely aligned with state requirements. James Fenton was the director of economic development in Gallatin and did a lot to negotiate and bring META to the community. And while it's not stipulated in the agreement, they, again, wanted to be assured that a majority of money that they're paying in lieu of personal property and real estate taxes goes to schools. So the industrial board is funding the county schools for roughly this last year $550,000.
So when money comes in to the industrial development board, it doesn't just sit there. It goes out again, depending on the stipulations of whatever the pilot agreement says. So it's the I guess the point I'm trying to make is the industrial development board just doesn't sit on a big fat growing pile of money. That money is invested into the community per the pilot agreements.
That's correct, and it's important to mention that the board members take very seriously the responsibility of being stewards of funds that come in. And you're right, the when the checks come in, the county and the city and the schools are first in line to say, you know, what does it mean for us?
Yeah, they do not have, the boards do not have unfettered ability to do whatever they want. There are state guidelines, there are individual pilot agreements that must be maintained, and there are legally binding contracts making sure all that happens.
Correct. And you're the treasurer, so you ought to...
I'm the treasurer, so yeah, I know how much money we've got, and I can see when it comes in, and I can see when it goes out.
That's right.
Makes a big difference in the bank account when the schools cash their check for $550,000. But it also makes a huge difference to the community when the director of schools and a couple of his vice assistant directors, I guess, come before the board and explain to us how many kids they have, that the money has helped, and what initiatives the school is doing with that money, and how we are growing educational opportunities in Sumner County because of that money.
That's correct. I think all of the board members were extremely impressed that Scott Lankford came to the board and made a presentation on where they're utilizing the funds that have been directed their way. And they're trying to use that for programs that will enhance education, development of a trade programs in high schools. He is probably someone you should have on your show to speak about.
We have.
And, well, shows how much I listen.
He was just here a few weeks ago.
I apologize for
actually,
that.
We actually have a question from a listener.
Okay.
And she asks, do the funds from META go to only the Gallatin schools, or does it cover all of Sumner County schools?
A very good question and an important question. The funds from META go to county schools. They are not designated in any way for simply the city.
Excellent. All right. So, yeah, in the case of the this latest round of funding, the school board's looking at enhancing some of the CTE technical education stuff that would apply to any student in Sumner County schools, not just ones at Gallatin High or other high schools within the city limits of Gallatin. So good question. Thank you for your question. Charmaine from, well, doesn't say where she's from, but from somewhere in the sound of my voice. Okay, folks, it's time to take our last break of the show. Come back in a couple minutes and finish up with Preston Stark. You're listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
D.T. McCall & Sons, your one-stop neighborhood superstore for appliances and furniture. Stop by today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. You can choose a Samsung gallery package for only $29.99. Includes a refrigerator, dishwasher, range, and microwave. Electrolux stackable washer and dryer for $14.99. Check out the large selection of Lazy Boy recliners in lots of styles and colors. Prices ranging from $4.39 and up. Lazy Boy reclining sofa, $13.99. Need a new bedroom suit? Select a dresser, mirror, chest, and queen bed for only $1,099. Free delivery and recycling within 125 miles of Carthage, Tennessee. 0% interest for 12 months through First Heritage. D.T. McCall & Sons, located at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Hey!
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Ask any Portland Panther football player. Bumps and bruises are a part of the game, and sometimes the injuries are more serious and require physical therapy. New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland, is the official PT sponsor of Portland High School and Middle School football and is ready to be yours too. Create a new you with a visit to New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland. Call for an appointment today, 615-325-9007. When you need physical therapy, New Life will help you start feeling great again. This area's best Mexican food is now easier to find than ever before. A great Mexican meal awaits you at three convenient locations now instead of just two. Señor Fajitas Mexican Kitchen has a new location in Elk Grove, as well as Portland, and people are raving about their dinners and lunches. Tacos, burritos, fajitas, chimichangas, enchiladas, all the foods you love, done right and delicious every time. With chicken, beef, pork, even vegetarian entrees at Señor Fajitas. Delicious sides, your favorite beverages, and great desserts. And now Señor Fajitas has three convenient locations, all just minutes away from where you live. 148 West Knight Street in downtown Portland. 123 Fairfield Road in Oak Grove. 1209 East Church Street in Orlando. Just minutes away from almost anywhere in Sumner County, you'll find Señor Fajitas and fine Mexican dining. Taco Tuesday, Fajitas Friday, but you never really need a reason to visit Señor Fajitas, just the opportunity to enjoy a good meal. Señor Fajitas, proudly presenting their newest location in Oak Grove.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And I hope you, before heading out to the new Senor Fajitas in Oak Grove, you stick around for the last few minutes of our show. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition on a sunny 81-degree afternoon. We are speaking with Preston Stark, and we're talking all things industrial development boards and the role they play in the overall economic development puzzle of a city and county. And for those interested, Sumner County as a whole has an industrial development board as well. And it's not just Gallatin here locally that has one. So wherever you are within the sound of my voice, you probably have a entity supporting industrial development in your community as well. But I don't want to talk about industrial development. I want to talk about little kids. Little kids. One of the opportunities that has arisen from the incoming money from various pilots has been a partnership with the Shalom Zone. And I hope you'd like to talk a little bit about that.
You know, the Shalom Zone with the city applied for a government grant to renovate some of the existing facility they have for preschool and development of small children, primarily tailored based on income. So it's a graduated scale for those folks that may not be able to find affordable daycare or childcare, and for folks to enter the workplace again, that's necessary.
One of the things that we have seen over and over again, and this is both in the educational and in the economic development sides, is one of the barriers to entry to higher education and to the workforce is daycare, finding it, and then being able to afford it.
Absolutely. As that unfolded, the city with the Shalom Zone had applied for a state grant that was funded through the federal government. And while it was a generous grant, it fell about $500,000 short of the anticipated construction cost versus the grant and other funding they received. So the industrial board made the decision to utilize some of the board's funds to make up that shortfall.
So we're going to have the Shalom Zone is going to have a brand new child care center at their facility coming up later this year. I think they're starting construction.
Yes, I'm not sure about the construction date, but I know that they're interested to fast track the project.
Okay, folks, so that's a little bit of a story for you about industrial development and community development in Sumner County, using the Gallatin Industrial Development Agency as sort of a template or an example. So when we talk about the issues of growth, not as simple as some would argue that it is. Sure, when entities come into a community, there are challenges, but there are programs in place to do the best we can at mitigating those challenges and maximizing the benefits of newcomers coming into the industrial and commercial scene in Sumner County. And some of the work being done by the industrial development boards here in this county as a result of industries wanting to come here has made a real positive difference in the lives of Sumner Countyans. We're going to have, we're going to have a new daycare center, and we have these new employers coming into town that are expanding their existing facilities or building new facilities, and they're going to need workers. So There are advantages as well that we need to think about when we're considering the growth equation. Folks, that is about all we have got time for today. Don't go away, though. Next up, as always, the boys at Triple Play Sports await their turn at the microphone. They also are exclusive here on WQKR. Don't forget to join us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock for another episode of The Loyal Opposition. Until then...